The title of this show today may seem shocking at first, but it shouldn't be, because I have said things more shocking than that. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zunder. I'm making sense for a living from my Fort Lauderdale laundry room. The title of the show is Why the Snatching Away Could Happen Saturday, or some variation thereof. Saturday, this Saturday being September 23rd. Why should this be shocking when I have said that the snatching away could happen 2.5 minutes from now? I used to say 5 minutes, but I've become an imitator of God, and I've shortened the days, and I've shortened the time, period. I've shortened the time, punctuation point, period. The reason I say it could happen Saturday is, yes, because of the constellation. Hang on, having said that, I am not saying that the sign in the heavens, the constellation, has to do directly by itself with the body of Christ. This will all be made clear as the show unfolds before you today. You'll see. Now, I did not set the date of September 23rd. Do you know what set the date of September 23rd? Stellarium, the software program that shows you the movements of the heavens. Somebody looked at the prophecy of Revelation chapter 12, and it was Jesus who said in Luke 21, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the constellations. So some normal person with a normal thought who knows how many years we are from Adam, that's the thing, we're nearing 6,000 years from Adam, knowing the 6-1 ratio, 6 days of creation, 1 day of stopping, 6,000 years of man doing his work, 1,000 years of Israel entering into peace and mankind, humanity finally stopping from their labors. Someone looked at that and said, I wonder if there is a sign coming up in the sun, the moon, and the constellations. That would be a normal thought for a normal person. So they went to this program called Stellarium. Now, at the same time that they were looking at Revelation 12, most astute students of Scripture know that a corresponding passage is Micah chapter 5. It talks about the birth of a son from a woman, from a virgin. And the astute Bible student will also realize that there was a forerunner to this. There was a harbinger of it. And it was that a virgin, namely Miriam, Mary, had a baby. And they called his name Jesus. And he was generated not by Joseph. Sorry, Joseph. They had sex later because Jesus had other brothers. But he was generated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fertilized that egg that clung to the uterine walls of a teenage girl and produced the Son of God, because he was the combination of humanity and God. He came directly from God. God generated him, but he planted him onto the uterine walls of a teenage Jewish girl named Miriam, who we commonly refer to as Mary. So a virgin gave birth before, one-on-one, one virgin, one baby that we care about, Jesus. Don't care about any of the brothers and sisters. I'm sure they were nice. They were nice people. Actually, they weren't. They didn't believe in him. They were jerks. Except for James. James was his literal brother. He became the head of the Jerusalem Ecclesia. Total relationship by flesh. Anyway, it's a whole other topic. Don't get me started on James, please. So, astute Bible students see this generation of a baby from a woman, and they look at the future and say, I wonder if this same kind of an analogy thing could apply to a corporate entity such as Israel and her offspring, that is, the sons of God the sons that Christ said he was going to bring many sons to glory. All this stuff comes together to the normal thinking person. It's not superstition. It's not astrology. It's astronomy. Having said that, the zodiac, called in Hebrew the Masoreth, is legit. Read Dr. Bullinger's book, Witness of the Stars. There is the story of redemption in the signs of what we call the zodiac, what the Jews called the Masoreth, or something like that. I'm not a Jew. What do I know? So Jesus said in Luke 21, again, there will be signs, sun, stars, and constellation. So now, and constellations. So now, because knowledge has increased, which Gabriel told Daniel that's what would happen in Daniel 9, chapter 9. We have this program where you can track the sun, the moon, and the constellations and where they are on any given day. Now, it could be that astrologers of yore, such as the three wise guys who found Jesus because of a conjoining of planets, that looked like they conjoined. You know, that eclipse from August 21st looks like the sun and moon are joining, but they're far, far apart. But to the eye, it looks like they're joining. So I think Jupiter and Venus overlapped one another. And it looked to the wise guys, that to them was a sign, and it like happened three times. I haven't studied in detail the Star of Bethlehem. Dr. Ernest Martin has done this. He has a great article and a great book. He writes in his own inimitable way, The Star of Bethlehem. So I haven't studied that exhaustively. But it aligns perfectly with an early statement of Scripture, Genesis 1:14, that God put the stars in place. He put all the heavenly bodies in place for seasons and for times, so that we can keep track of things and know when things are happening. So there was this alignment of these planets when Jesus was born. So why wouldn't we think that at the end of these days, there would be, at the second coming of Christ, which is far more spectacular and great than the first coming. Hardly anybody even knew the first coming was happening. In fact, nobody would have known except the angels showed up to a bunch of shepherds in the field and they started singing and glowing and they were green or something. And the shepherds were astounded and they fall down as dead. And they were told that, "Fear not, for I bring you tidings of great joy. In the city of David, Bethlehem, today a Savior is born. 'Tis Christ the Lord. Go to him now. Flee. Allez-vous. Donnez-moi. Vamos." And they went. All because of signs in the heaven. Oh, the angels helped. Yeah. So now we have something even more spectacular that everybody's going to know about. Every eye shall behold him. He is coming with great power. Great signs. Great wonders. And don't you think that would be announced? Well, it is being announced by sun, moon, and constellations. So people are flipping through the stellarium. The stellarium allows you to see what the planets and stars were doing 6,000 years ago, what they will be doing 6,000 years from now, because they're marvelously, wonderfully predictable. They do the same things all the time because God is in a big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable rat. So the sun, the moon, the stars, they find out, look at this. At this particular time, as we're running this thing through the ages, through the eras, it's amazing program, Stellarium. Knowledge increased. Somebody put this together based on literal observations of the heavens. Look, here's this woman about to get this virgin, Virgo, which in the Masoreth represents the mother, Mary, Jesus's earthly mother, bringing forth a son, which is a lion of Judah. And Leo, the lion, is at her head, you see. It all works out. Don't worry. It all works out. Then they can see that there are 12 stars on her head, but there's usually only 9 because The constellation Leo usually has 9 stars, but now there are 12 because 3 planets have come in at this particular time to join the 9 resonant stars. Planets are also known as stars, and even meteors, comets, asteroids can be stars as well. Star is a general term to describe the bodies of the heavens. You have to look at the context to figure out which body is being considered. So these 3 planets, I think it's Mars, Venus, and it's Jupiter that's in the womb. Must be Mars, Venus, and Saturn. Anyway, they join the 9 resonant stars of Leo to make 12 stars. And the sun is exactly clothing her at her back and the moon's at her feet. And they're going, this is interesting. And it's Stellarium that told them that that would happen on September 23rd. I'm not setting any date. All the crazy Christians who are talking about this thing on their websites, they didn't set the date. Stellarium said it happens on September 23rd, which is also happens to be the Feast of Trumpets, of a Jewish feast. You can't make this up. It's there on Stellarium. Oh, this happens to be the Jewish feast day. Feast of Trumpets, right? It's like, what? It coincides with a Jewish feast? And it's 3.5 years removed from the beginning of a 3.5 year period that begins the tribulation, which ends with another 3.5 year period. Really? I'm just an observer of these things. And so are the people who first started quacking about September 23rd. They're just an observer. I bet there's going to be a sign coming to announce the second coming of Christ. So broom, broom, broom. They went through the Stellarium thing and okay, look at this. Click, 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 click. All these things together. What's the date? It says here, September 23rd. September 23rd. Stellarium came up with that date. If you have a problem with that date, blame Stellarium. Don't even blame the person who created the software. Blame the stars themselves for aligning on that particular day and mirroring the description given by John in Revelation chapter 12. So therefore, what's supposed to happen? It's just a signpost. It's a signpost. You know, when you reach, you're driving toward a city. Let's say you're driving toward Chicago. God help you. All right. You're driving toward Chicago, and you're driving there from Ohio. It's a long way, 7 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is. And you can't wait to get there. And you finally see a sign that says Chicago, 5 miles. Like, oh, forget driving. I remember this on a bicycle. It's on a bicycle. It's a wonderful thing to see. I bicycled across the country, as you know, twice. And so I'm trying to get to a certain place, a certain town, and I see, you know, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, 5 miles. Oh, yes. It's a signpost. It doesn't make me there. It doesn't have any sort of magnetic pull on me, except it gives me encouragement. It gives me an expectation that 5 miles from now, I'm going to run into that damn city. And I'm going to be able to rest, pitch my tent, get a meal of Archway cookies and orange juice and orange juice and relax. So it's a sign post. God does not trick us. Oh, I'll share this little anecdote with you too. I bicycled across the country in 1980 by myself, solo. And I can take things. I'm the only person that has to deal with things, right? So I can manage my own emotions, my own trials. In 4 years after that, I was bicycling across the country with my wife. Now I have to consider her feelings, her emotions. I can't just be so happy-go-lucky, ne'er-do-well. That doesn't fit. Happy-go-lucky, caution-to-the-wind type of person. So I remember where were we? We were heading towards some town. We were going from Los Angeles to Ocean City, Maryland. It might have been somewhere in Virginia. Let's just say we're coming in towards some place called Smithville, Virginia. I'm just making this up. Don't look for it on your Rand McNally Road Atlas. So it's a long day, or I think we're going 60, 70 miles. I can tell she's getting irritated. Marcia is tired, of course. I understand it. And we see this sign that says Smithville, 5 miles. I'm relating this to the signpost. That's the Revelation chapter 12 sign, telling us that a birth of a nation, the sons of Israel coming to an awareness of their calling is imminent, okay? That's what that sign, it's a signpost that watch for it, it's near. Things are clicking into place for this to happen. So we get upon this sign, Smithville, 5 miles, and it's like, I could see Marsha was just relieved, like, thank God, Smithville. I've been looking for this place since we rolled out at the tent this morning. So, all right, now she's good. Once you got it in your mind, once you know that the end is near, then you're fine. You can live with things. So we're bicycling along, bicycling for another 2 or 3 miles. Smithville's coming up. And every mile was a struggle at this point. So after 3 miles approximately, we see another sign. Do you know what this sign said? It said, Smithville, 5 miles. I swear to you, Smithville, 5 miles. 3 horrible miles after there had already been a sign that said, Smithville, 5 miles. At this point, my wife literally got off her bike, grabbed it with both hands, and pushed it into the path of an oncoming truck. I swear to you, I'm not making this up. This literally happened. I, being the daring do, ne'er-do-well, it fits here, risk taker, I ran into the road, pulled the bike out of the path of the oncoming truck, and spared the bicycle. But I did not spare a terrible evening. When we finally got into Smithville, damn those signs. Okay, now, God would not do that to us. You say, well, God has people. No, God hasn't. People have. There's been so many false flags, so many false dates, so many date setters. Yeah, that's because the people set the date. The people set the date. God didn't set the date. The stars didn't set the date. Some guy said, I think it's going to be on August 6th, 1847. Or Hal Lindsey, whatever. It's going to be 1988. Where'd you get that? From what body orifice did you pull that into the world and put it into a book? This, ladies and gentlemen, this. The stars, the constellations, the sun and the moon, they dictated this date, not Martin Zender. And it, quote, so happens, unquote, to coincide with a Jewish feast, to coincide with a believable timeline taking us from the creation of Adam to the inauguration of the kingdom. Why are these two bookmarks, bookends, important? One marks the beginning of the works of humanity, Adam. One marks the end of the works of humanity. And what do you know? 6 is the number of humanity and the works of humanity. 6 days humanity works, 1 day they stop and they recognize God. In Hebrews, Paul makes a correlation between the 6 days of God creating things and man on the 6th day and then stopping. Paul makes a correlation in the book of Hebrews between that and Israel entering a 1,000-year period of stopping. That's what Sabbath means. It means to stop. It doesn't mean to rest. It means to stop. God didn't get tired. He simply stopped creating. It's correlation. If it's 1,000 years of stopping, 6,000 years getting there. So this constellation coincides with that, with a timetable which brings us 3.5 years for Israel to be prepared in the wilderness and then a 7-year tribulation period. Next year, basically, we would be 10 years from the coming of the kingdom. We're currently 3.5 years, I believe, from the start of the tribulation. Putting all these things together. I didn't set this date. Stellarium didn't even set the date. The sun and the moon and the constellations set this date. Stellarium discovered it. And now it's being published. And now this finally brings me, in the waning moments of the show, to why the snatching away could happen on Saturday. It could. I'm not saying it will. I'm saying it could. Not because of the constellation and the sun and the moon per se, because these things are chiefly for Israel, but because of a sentence Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, namely verse 25, that says that before something can happen with Israel, something has to happen with the body of Christ. I call this the Rosetta Stone verse because it becomes a place where two things meet. It becomes a way for us to interpret what before was a hieroglyphic, something that was unknown. The Rosetta Stone, of course, being the key to understanding hieroglyphics. For instance, when you see a picture of a buffalo, it means that your taxes are due on Tuesday. Whatever. This means that. And the Rand McNally Road Atlas, the blue picnic table, means rest stop. So we have a key in Romans 11:25, and all I'm going to have time to do right now is to read the verse, and then I'll save it to tomorrow to elaborate upon it. Paul says in Romans 11:25, "For I am not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering." Here we have two events in the same sentence being related to one another by Paul. He's relating a circumcision event with an uncircumcision event. What's the circumcision event? The circumcision event is that callousness in part on Israel has come. The second half of that is, "and thus all Israel shall be saved." I didn't get to that. That's verse 26. I will get to it, don't worry. The uncircumcision event is until the complement of the nations may be entering. So now let me read verses 25 and 26, because 26 is just as important. Here's where the interpretive daring do will come in. And I will dare to walk this tightrope, and I will dare to attempt to interpret this for you. But I can only be, I can interpret it specifically, but I can only give you an overview of this has to happen before this happens. There are still niceties of time here that we don't know about. There are still minutiae of minutes and seconds. You remember, Jesus said no one knows the day or the hour, but he did not say we would not know the month or the year. Did not say that, did he? He said no man knows the day and the hour. So even interpreting this, these two verses, this couplet here in Romans chapter 11, I can't and I won't give you the day and the time. So I'm not saying that this Saturday, September 23rd, is the snatching away. I'm saying it could be, not because we're setting a date, but because something is going to happen with Israel. That is, this is what's going to happen with Israel. Callousness in part has come on Israel until the complement of the nations may be entering, and thus all Israel shall be saved. Something is happening with Israel in this passage. Callousness is being removed and they're being saved. But that is being related here. This is the Rosetta Stone part. It's being related to an uncircumcision event. That's why I can make the link. The uncircumcision event is that the nations, the fullness of the nations, has to be entering first. So now Paul is relating an uncircumcision event to a circumcision event, saying that the circumcision event can't happen, because of the word until an uncircumcision event happens. That's where the link comes in. Romans 11:25 and 11:26. That's where the link comes in. A circumcision event with an uncircumcision event. And we also have a sign that tells us the start of the circumcision event. And if that is the start of the circumcision event, and if Paul's relating a circumcision event with an uncircumcision event in Romans 11:25 and 26, then we can know, then we have the proximity, don't we? We know that this circumcision event is going to be very near the uncircumcision event. That's why I say that the snatching away could happen on Saturday, but it might happen 2.5 minutes from now.